Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 hello. I've got a little problem with my throat today, so although I'll still be speaking, just wanted to let you know I had got intubated on Friday, so my throat is still a little sore. Ask Minister Sheila if she could go ahead and pray for us and start off the program, and then I will come back. Share a little of parenting and part of my testimony. Minister Sheila.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Apostle Elect. Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and to all your listeners, I just want to give honor to God, our Father, and the Son, Christ Lord Jesus, for blessing us with another day, to bless us with another birthday. And I'm going to ask you to apologize for the background noise, but I am at work, and noise would be just as of now. The motorcycle is pulling up for service. I want to give honor to God for blessing us with a day, another birthday, to give us life and to give us the knowledge and to learn more knowledge, to bless us and to keep us and to let us know He is here. That is why we are here, because He still chooses to give us. Lord, give honor to You. I ask You to bless Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. Prophet Antoine Thomas, excuse me, Pastor Troy Thomas, Missionary Brandon Kaiser, Missionary Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Missionary Margot McCoy, Missionary Linda Handy, and Evangelist Missionary Tony Montgomery. I just ask You, Lord, to bless all my sisters, my brothers, my daughters, my sons, my granddaughters, my grandsons, nieces, nephews, cousins, just the entire bloodline family and the spiritual family. Lord, I thank You for blessing us through this day. And I thank You for waking us up and giving us knowledge and those that don't, to give them the teachers, to send them, to bless them, and to let them know that we are only here today because of the Father and the Son. Lord, I thank You for blessing us and bless this government to keep us in life the right way, that all is one. We are all one. No matter what your sex is, your religion, your race, or whatever, we are all brothers and sisters in the eyes of God, our Father, and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless this government again to raise the right knowledge and rights to all people to understand, and to bless this law enforcement to bring us together that we can be all treated as one. Not because of your color, your race, your sex, that you are chosen to be treated different, but Lord, bless us to let them know that we are all brothers and sisters in this world today because You choose to give us life. And I'm going to ask for each and every one that's listening on this program, before the apostle take over, to give her a healing prayer. To pray for her healness, through the procedure that she had went through, that her body healed and restored and brought back to life, brought back to better as before it went in. To let her know that we are in loving ministry, and that we pray and treasure her in her knowledge and her teaching. And I thank God for bringing it able that I was able to fly up there to her and to fly back in safeness, and to all that was on the flight that's flying and traveling these days to keep themselves safe and take them to and from their destination. But Lord, I thank You, and I thank You for the apostle bringing her through her procedure and heal her body, God. Heal her throat, heal her from the head to her toe, make her right, Lord. Fix her, Lord. I know You can cure, You can heal, You can stop all pain and suffering. Lord, we need Your blessing. Bless the apostle today and each and every day to let her know that we do love her and to keep her in the right way to let us know that God is with us and forever. And I just want to turn the program over to the listeners and ask you all to present the apostle with a healing prayer. Thank you.
Well, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for another Sunday. I thank you for your blessings and your mercy, God. We thank you for being an awesome, loving, and forgiving God. We thank you, God, because you have provided everything that we need. I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, and stand here in the gap for my loving and blessed apostle. God, we just ask you right now to give her what she needs, to send angels to minister to her. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you for your healing power. Help her, Lord Jesus, just to know that she is not alone, that your promises are there for her, that she has exactly what she needs. Healing is the children's bread. And so because of this, her healing is in you. Her strength is in you. Her restoration is in you. And she is in you. And because she abides in you and your love abides in her, she need only ask and it be given to her. Just continue to bless her. Keep her. Let her know she's being lifted up in prayer. For all those who love and know her are praying for her and believing for her. This too shall pass, and she will be stronger and better and wiser and will give God the praise for it. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Missionary Margot McCoy. Is there anyone else to get apostle healing prayer? We want to thank each and everyone that's listening that might be able to listen, but not able to talk. For Lord, we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. For yet we know you can do what no man is able to do. Well, you can put the right man in the right room, the right nurse in the right room to heal her and to bring her through her pain and her agony and to heal her, Lord. We need you, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we need you today, Lord, to heal her body, to make it all right with you and to let her know that you do love your daughter. And that she is here to praise and to pray to you. I just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you, God, for you are the one and the only one that can help us see the light and bring us out of the darkness. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Turn it over to you, Apostle. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Steele. I thank God for his greatness. I thank God for how he protected and cared for me. I'm going to say a quick prayer. I thank you all for your prayers. And I need to just say a quick prayer. Father God, I glorify you and I magnify you. I thank you for being Jehovah Rapha. I thank you for being the God that created my central nervous system. I thank you for being the God that created my circulatory system and cardiovascular system. I thank you for being the God of my lymphatic and digestive system. I thank you for being the God of my reproductive system, my muscular skeletal system, and my respiratory system. God, I thank you for being the God that created my skin. God, I thank you for being a God that tells my body to line up with what you created it to do. And God, I know that you're in control. God, and there's no system in my body that you don't control. It doesn't matter what the signs and symptoms look like. It doesn't matter what the doctor has said, but all that matters is what you said. You had said that it was good when you created everything. And then you sent your son, Jesus, to say that it is finished. And God, I thank you for the greatness in what you've done and how you sent your Holy Spirit to rest and reside and dwell on the inside of each and every one of us. I thank you for destroying every diabolical plan of the enemy that would try to cause anyone to walk in any type of bondage, any type of pride or perversion, any type of antichrist spirit, every deaf and dumb spirit, everything of idolatry, every infirmity or heaviness that would even try to beseech and every one of us. For we know that your word reminds us that even the enemy would send those that would creep in, that would try to fool the very elect. God, I even thank you for Ron, Minister Ron, reminding us on this week about what Brian Clark had taught on back in 1900s. No, he actually taught on a guy, and last time was in 2020 when he talked about the false evidence that appears real and how that false evidence that appears real sometimes, although it's fear, it's things that can try to conquer you. It's things that tries to bring you various illusions. It's things that try to make you think that you're in physical danger or loss. It's things that will send things your way to make it look like it's a good thing, but it is actually something that's come to try to destroy you. God, we thank you for all that you did on this week to show that you are God and there is nothing and no one greater than you. God, I thank you for, I know the prayer on this morning from Minister Margaret, from Minister Sheila, that you allowed them to pray for me, God, and I count it an honor that these two women would take time out of their lives and even their very breath, God, the breath that you breathed in their lives and allowed them to unselfishly to pray for me, God. God, that's an honor that someone would even want to pray for you. God, I thank you for every intercessor. I thank you even for those that are on the family chat that I asked who would be willing to come to be a part of a procedure that I needed to have. And God, that false evidence that appeared real was trying to cause me to be anxious, to cause me to walk in fear. God, I thank you for carrying me through it and for reminding me that there are no big I's, there are no little I's, there are no big T's, there are no little T's, because we all are in these human bodies that you've given us. And I thank you, God, for caring. Amen and amen. So on these past couple of weeks, I knew that I was going to have a procedure done. I didn't know it would be several procedures in one. But fear and anxiety try to take over. And in that, it was extra, you know, stuff. You know how the enemy is. He's going to throw something at you, and that doesn't work. That's okay. He's going to go and throw something else at you. And so they were saying, no, no one can be with you because of COVID. I said, oh, no, somebody from my family is coming, and they're going to be with. And they said, no, Ms. Kaiser, no one's going to be there with you. I said, they're going to be there with me, or I'm not having the procedure. They were like, oh, okay, this lady. So they was like, well, you can just ask. But they kept putting me off and telling me to ask this person and telling me to ask that person. So the authority of God told me, don't ask them, tell them. I said, oh, my God. I said, God, we talked about people in the hospital. He says, no, tell them what you want. You've asked me for someone to come and be with you, and I told you that I would allow it to happen. So I sent the family text out, and Minister Sheila volunteered to come. She was like, well, how much is the ticket? And God said, no, you pay for it. So I said, okay, you don't have to worry about the ticket. I just need you to come. And so she was like, okay, she will take off work and come. So then it was like I said, they still said she couldn't come because of COVID. I said, she is going to come. So then they said, okay, well, you can't have the surgery because your blood pressure is in the 200s. I mean, 227, things of that sort. I mean, the lowest it got was 180. I said, okay, no problem. They said, okay, we're going to change your blood pressure medicine. So they changed my blood pressure medicine, still in the 200s and the 180s. Most people would have been in the hospital. I wasn't. And I was in lots of pain. Oh, my goodness. I was just having so much pain. I was like, God, I've never had this much pain in these latter years in a very long time. I was like, so from the blood pressure in the 227s and higher to the pain, I was like, the craziness at work. I said, them telling me my sister can't come and I need to be in the right mindset in order to go through these procedures. I said, God, help me. And so God was like, okay, well, I've arranged for your sister to come and she'll be there with you. So be encouraged. I said, okay, God. He said, but most of all, know that you'll be in my presence and that my angels will be encamped all around you. And so Minister Sylvia called me and she prayed for me and she prayed for all of the doctors and stuff that would be there. And, you know, she prayed for their hands and that God would guide them. I mean, she did those things that you're supposed to do. And Minister Sheila was praying for me and she put on the family, the whole family to pray for me. And then the enemy of my soul reminded me, you know, not, you know, I worked in prisons before. I've worked in group homes before. I've worked in the various places before. He took me way back and said, yeah, but remember when you worked at that wellness clinic? Remember how you used to give the girls the day after pills? I mean, he started reminding me of how I was not only a person that worked in places that was there to save people's lives. I was worked in a place that was there to take lives and the things that I did in that abortion clinic and things of that sort. It reminded me of how I went with my friend Rosalind many a times to, you know, have the different procedures done. And then he reminded me of how when Brandon was in my womb and how they told me that I had lost him, but in actuality they figured that I had he had a twin and I had lost the twin, but Brandon was still there. So because I had a tumor, it's called a tetratoma, it's a type of like, it's like an alien. It has its own little skeletal system and everything in it. And so, and it reminded me how they tried to take my uterus and my son. They was basically going to take him and my uterus. So that was in November 1986. And so the one doctor God gave me favor with, and see, in this case, I was alone. No family and anyone could come to be there with me, and I was alone. I had a crazy roommate. That's a whole nother story. But it was like, okay, I'm alone, and I'm going to have this major procedure. And I could wake up and I could not only be not be able to have children, they can take the very child that I have left that's in my womb. I had one. I lost them. And so this false evidence that appeared real started to overtake. Blood pressure was just staying so high because I was having this internal war going on. Ah, I had this war going on in my mind, in my heart, and nobody could see it because I was still smiling. I was still doing my job. I was still counseling my employees. I was still praying for others. I was still doing what God told me to do. I just want to thank you. On the outside, I look good. On the outside, I still had my makeup on. But on the inside, there was a war going on. And I couldn't get my blood pressure under control because of these things of my past that made me remember that my father's legacy was about to to finally come to that end, although I'm at the age that I'm at, where I can't have children anymore, it was still a war going on because, see, that son that I was carrying, Brandon, was also the son that my father never had. So he was my father's legacy of the Kaisers because no one was having sons that would dedicate them back to God, but also back to my father so that my father's name could keep going on. Because, see, it wasn't where women were getting married, carrying on the Seabury or the Kaiser name, but it was where my father's name needed to be carried on, and he didn't have any sons. And I was like, God, I want to have my son, and I want my son to carry my father's name so that my father doesn't have to be a man that feels so unfulfilled because he hasn't had a son. He had various relationships with other people trying to have a son. My father really wanted a son, and I said, God, I'm willing to be your sacrifice. Let me have a son and let my son be my name. And so when I went to have these procedures, it was like, okay, well, I might not have gotten to take everything from you and rob you then, but I'll rob you in your old age. And I was like, but God, it doesn't really matter. I'm not of childbearing years, and the things that they want to do, although it could end up with all types of complications, and they're trying to get me to do this blood work so in case I need a blood transfusion, I still don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone like I was when it first threatened me and they wanted to do this. I said, God, I need you to help me. So, like I said, he sent Minister Sheila to be there with me. And then they were arguing a little in the thing, saying, you know, she wanted to see me. And so the nurse was like, no, she can't see her because they didn't want her to see how much blood I had lost. And so I was like, okay, I know this routine. And so the anesthesiologist, she says, ma'am, I'm going to rewind. She said, and I'm going to go back to one before I went into the procedure. She says, ma'am, read your chart. And I said, what do you mean you read my chart? She says, most of the people don't know that you're a nurse. She says, we got to watch what we say around you because I realize you know more than you acting like you know. And so she was trying to make me relax because she could tell I was anxious because my blood pressure was still in the 220. So she says, you've been a nurse a very long time. And so she called her whole team in, and she started asking me questions, thinking I didn't know what she was doing. She was like, so when you had the tumor years ago, what was the name of it? And I said, it was a tetratoma. She said, okay, when you had the surgery and they took your ovary and your tube, what was that? I said, it was an oophorectomy. And so it was like she was just asking me these questions so fast, and I was answering her so fast I didn't get time to think, where before when they were asking me questions, I was saying, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I was talking in very layman terms, but this anesthesiologist, she was so skilled in her questioning until she exposed what I knew to the whole room and everybody that was in there. And so then even the doctor who was performing the procedure, she said, And so I was, then they understood. They said, well, when doctors come in, they're calm. They said, but it's something going on with her because she's a nurse, and so she knows what's going on. Why is she so anxious? But they didn't understand I had an internal struggle going on that they couldn't see. But this anesthesiologist was so skilled till she wanted them to know, no, I need you to know who you're working with. I need you to know who you're operating on. I need for you to know that this is not just anybody. And I don't know what her sister does that's out there waiting on her, but I need for you to know that this is also a woman of God. So as she was exposing everything and everything was coming out, it was like she wanted them to know. Minister Sylvia and I was like, you have to let people know how to handle you. But see, I was trying to go in there, and I was dealing with this struggle where I wasn't in there trying to brag on whatever. And so the anesthesiologist says, so what are you doing nowadays? And I said, once again, I'm not paying attention. I said, I'm working on the final part of my doctoral dissertation. I'm going for an ED or a PhD, depending on how it pans out for leadership. And they He says, So he goes out and he tells the people, you know, what's going on. And I'm like, okay, God, you're setting me up. I don't know what you're doing, but you're setting me up. I said, trust you, God, because I know I've opened up these doors and these gates and these entries to my soul, to my inner, and that's through these struggles to where I'm letting the things of my past creep in. God, there's a struggle going on. And then the word of God says when your heart is overwhelmed, you've got to go to the rock. I said, God, I need you, and I need you right now because these people, God has sent me to the best of the anesthesiologists, just like Minister Sylvia had already prayed and my family had prayed. And you've made it where the people going in here are saying, we're going to handle her, and we're going to handle her, you would say, in kid gloves. We're going to handle her with an expertise as though she's somebody. And I realized that somebody that I was a child of God. There's benefits to being a child of God. There's benefits to knowing that you're in the presence of God. There's benefits to that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what your fears were. But God has taught us how to destroy the fears. That false evidence that appears real, he showed us how the enemy of our soul will try to come in and use various tactics and various strategies to bring fear upon you so much until you look good on the outside. My. You could even be a 36, 24, 36. Your hair can be just laid. I mean, your money's tight. Your credit score is tight, all of that. And you could still have a battle, a war going on the inside. But God will send those ministering angels that will remind you about the peaceful rest that's in God. And that even if they take you, you know you're going on to be with God. Even if you have unfulfilled destinies and agendas and purposes on the side of heaven, that when you're in the presence of God, he'll deliver you. He'll bring you joy and peace and comfort in the midst of that internal battle that's going on. Because, see, many of us have internal battles that's going on, that's causing us pain, that's causing of system issues. We have many struggles going on the inside. Can't nobody see it. Can't nobody diagnose it. But God will send that angel that'll be on the inside of someone else. The room know who's in their presence. My God, my God. And if you don't know that being a child of God is like being a king or a queen, then you forgot to read the word of God that said he's a king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. That's you and I. But see, we don't want people to know that we struggle. We don't want people to know that we have things going on in our past that haunt us. We don't want people to know about the night terrors that try to creep in. We don't want people to know this or that. But see, God will teach you, call for the willing. Call for the intercessors. Call for those people that say they love you, and we're going to test them too. Do you really love her, or do you just say you love her? Will you pray for him or her when they need you to pray for them? I was talking to this young lady who's like a little sister to me, and she's in North Carolina where some of this stuff, you know, was going on while I was in the military. Because, see, yeah. You know, you be in the military, they're going to send you here, there. I had 11, 13 assignments in less than 11 years. And I was like, what in the world is going on? Who has my name? Throw it away. Well, anyway, getting back to this young lady, I had had this relationship with this particular guy. And so because of that relationship, I lost a whole lot of friends and so-called associates because they weren't really my friends, no way. And so the family reunion was held down in North Carolina where I was. And there was people upset with me because I wasn't calling them to get help from them. But God told me that he would make a way and he would supply it. So he did. And so me and these people fell out. You may not know, but I got excommunicated. I got kicked out the church. You want to know why? Because God had already told me my time was up and I had to leave, but I didn't. And so I called Apostle Sandra Thomas and Pastor Fred, and I said, I told me it's my time to go, but the bishop here said, it's not my time to go. I was like, so what do I do? And they were saying, you go. But Bishop was saying, no, you don't go. So I was listening to the bishop. I wasn't listening to the apostle and pastor who had a church home in Chicago. And this was my wife's church, and I didn't leave. So things happened. Yes, me and a sister got to fighting. I'm not talking about a verbal fight. We got into a physical altercation outside the church. I was in there for prayer. She came up there to fight me. I didn't know that. I went out to my car. She attacked me. I tried not to fight her back, but I did. Anyway, so we fought. And so all of these things are coming up, and the enemy of my soul is reminding me of it. And then a lot of people stop talking to me. While I'm sick and in pain these past couple of weeks, I get this thing on Facebook where someone requests my friendship. I said, wait a minute now. This guy is requesting my friendship. He's one of the people that dissed himself from me because of whatever's going on. But how many of you know that God will make the very person that was your foe or your enemy call you and ask you for prayer? His daughter is battling cancer, and they've removed both of her breasts, et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't know this when he asked to be my friend. I just knew that God said to accept it. You know, that's the past. Let it go. So I accepted the friendship, knowing that his wife was the armor bearer at the time with the young lady that I had to fight with at church, like I said, a physical altercation, where I had to get a restraining order against her. And they were like, well, ma'am, you're the one that beat her. So why are you getting a restraining order against her? I said, because I'm following the wisdom of my apostle who told me to do this. She said, the law is for the lawless. She says, Cecilia, you allowed yourself to come under the law of the lawless when you fought her back. Now you need to walk in the law. So I did everything she advised me to do this time. This time I wasn't hard here. I wasn't listening to nobody else. And so we ended up going to court, and they all favored in my way, et cetera. And so when they called, the enemy reminded me of this. And God said, everybody on that page is saying stuff. And so I called my sister, and I asked her, I said, what's going on? I said, why are these people that hated me and didn't want to have nothing to do with me, why are they contacting me? And she said, Cecilia, even when you were in North Carolina, you were known as an intercessor. She said, a lot of people didn't like you, but they knew that you were a woman of prayer. And I said, okay. She said, their daughter, blah, blah, blah. She told me what was going on. And I said, oh, my God, I didn't know. And so everybody thought I knew. And so when I went on the page to, you know, see what was going on, I saw the sadness of the family. While I'm going through the blood pressure issues and my own thing, I said, why is everybody saying I'm going to pray for you instead of pray? So then I prayed for the young lady, and God let me know that it's well. I don't know if that means that she's going to transition or what. He said, but pray, and pray for the strategies and the tactics and the traps of the enemy that are trying to destroy her mentally, that the same ones that are attacking you. And so when God showed me the enemies that were attacking me, he told me to pray the same prayers for her. So I put them on the page, and I prayed for her. I didn't say my blood pressure came down. I didn't say that the pain went away. I didn't say anything that was going on with me changed. But I said in the midst of the battle, God had me battle for her. In the midst of my internal God, I just want to say, in the midst of what I was dealing with, God said, pray for her. Forget about yourself. Pray for her. And so when I prayed for her, it was like I felt like God said, because of your obedience, I'm going to cover you. I didn't know, you know, what was going on. But I said, okay, God, because of this, you're going to cover me. I said, okay. And so I'm praying for, you know, Minister Sheila to have safe travels. And I'm praying for Minister Sylvia and Minister Margot and everyone that's connected with Smile through Ida, the ones that have recently gone through divorces and things of that sort. And I'm praying for the people, praying for the crazy people on my job and the classroom and things of that sort. And I'm like, okay, God, it's amazing how you can have so many things going on, still be in the midst of your own personal struggle. And so as I'm in the room for the pre-op, they change out nurses on me and they send this one in there. He's like, he says, you're really anxious. He says, I can tell because you're not saying anything, but I can look in your eyes and tell that you're anxious. And I didn't say anything because I knew what he was saying was true. And then they wanted him to do a pregnancy test on me. He says, ma'am, he asked me a few questions. He said, no, I don't believe anybody's probably asked you these questions because if they had, they wouldn't be doing a pregnancy test on you. So he asked me the last time, you know, in a course and asked me all of these questions, and then he bust out laughing. He said, hold on, let me talk to the doctor. So he called the doctor and he told her everything. And then he came back and said, we don't need to do a pregnancy test on you. I've already got it taken care of. So as God is sending these people in there to, you know, do the small things for me, he was, you know, that he was covering me. So then when I was in the PACU after the procedure, I was in so much pain. And I didn't realize they had done 4 procedures at one time, and that was why I was in so much pain, and that was why I was losing so much blood. He gave me this lady. It was lots of nurses in there, but he gave me a nurse that had the same procedures I had at 4 different times. And she had such a compassion for me till I couldn't moan, I couldn't groan, I couldn't do anything, because if she heard it, she was over there instantly. This lady took such good care of me. Oh, my God. It was almost time for me to leave out of the PACU because you're usually in there for 45 minutes, but I was in there for over 2 hours because of what was going on with me. And the anesthesiologist came over and checked on me. And right when it was time for me to go, she said, you're still in a little pain, she says, and they told me I could give it. And so she gave it to me, and it was like she didn't pray for me out loud, but it was like she had such a compassion. My God. She was so, because there were people, other nurses in there, they were arguing, they were fussing, they was, wasn't nothing making them happy. You know, all they was doing was complaining, complaining, complaining. But God blessed me with a woman that didn't get into the gossiping that they were in there doing. But see, although I was out of it, I could still hear everything that was going on. She would come over and she had such a peace about her that it reminded me that God told me he would be with me. And while I was in that path, I remembered that although the struggle was still going on, that I was even ignorant to at that time, but my blood pressure kept reminding me that your soul is trying to kill you. The enemy of your soul is trying to get you to think about everything that he's trying to do. instead of everything that God has done. God said that he would be with us always. And even as Minister Sylvia had ministered on Friday night, if you're in hell, he can find you. If you're under the sea, God can still find you. If you're in a hospital and you feel all alone, God can find you. If you're in a relationship you don't need to be in, not only can he find you, he'll get you out of. If you're anywhere you don't need to be, just cry out to God. And know that although it seems like the enemy is winning, if God says he's with you, he's with you. If God says take all of your cares and lay them on the altar, lay them there and leave them there. Because, see, when you're having pains in your body, and they're really severe pain, you need other people praying and interceding for you. Because when the enemy of my soul drew the pain, and then he drew the cramps, and then he drew the blood pressure, I'm here to tell you, when your blood pressure is in the 200s, you can't even think right. It's simple things, very simple things that you can't even remember to do. And the fact that not one time when I talked to the advice nurse or the doctors did they ever say, come on in, we're going to admit you. But they were treating me as an outpatient. It was because God wanted to let me know there is no doctor and no medication greater than me. There's people dying from those type of blood pressures. And there's people that have already died. I've got you, and he's saying that to you too. No matter what's going on in your life or your body, God's got you. No matter what the enemy is throwing your way, God's got you. I know you look good on the outside. Uh-huh, your makeup tight, you got it straight. Uh-huh. I know you're riding well. Mm-hmm. I know your house got everything in order, but God's got you. So while you're experiencing these in struggles, call for the praying women. Call for the praying men. Call for the people that have been put in your life for those God-given days that you need to have them pray for you. Because everybody that's praying for you, you don't know who they are. That young lady whose father contacted me, when God told me to pray for her, I doubt if she even knows anything about that prayer. But I know that God told her father, who had to have permission from his wife, asked her to be your friend on Facebook. I'm sure they may have thought I already knew what was going on with their daughter, but I did. And while I'm recovering right now and doing the things that I need, I know that God is with me. I'm not going to say that the enemy hasn't thrown some pretty good shots, but I'm going to say he's reminded me of the God that I serve. See, that giant of the blood pressure, that giant of the pain, that giant of the things that happened in my past as far as making me think the legacy of my father's name, my son has twins now, twin girls. And the way he handles them, awesome. And God allowed me to do exactly what I asked him to allow me to do. And I'm thankful that God allowed my family to pray for me and pray for one another. I love you all. When I told God he wanted his wisdom and that I wanted his agape love, I didn't know that that meant that I would get it back. So thank you. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the unity.
thank you for being able to be so transparent that we're helping others. Somebody needs to hear your testimony, Minister Sheila, Minister Margo, Minister Sylvia, Dr. Serena Wright, Prophet Anthony, Servant Pastor Troy, Minister Lawrence Seabury, the Cornix that were in ministry with us years ago. Everybody, somebody needs to hear your testimony. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't cover it up. Because that giant that seems like it's big, is big because of the soul. It's not big because of what it is, but it's big because of the souls that God's going to use to save those people when you become so transparent. Tell it doesn't matter. Remember, I got excommunicated because I was in a physical altercation with another sister in Christ. And then on this week and last week, I was in an internal struggle with pain, with cramps, with blood pressures, with just so much. But God let me know that those giants, they're little ants to him. They're nothing to God. Give it all to God and know that God is going to do just what he said. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And the best one of all is the presence of God. That's all I have, Minister Sheila.
Ask Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright or Minister Margo to take over right now because I have a line at work, but I will get back in before it ends.
Well, this is Minister Margo, and I'd just like to say we thank God for the transparency of Apostle Elect. Thank God for her being able to give us her testimony. Let's say uncovered, no redacted sections, everything out in the open so that we can make that connection and understand that God loves us. God loves us. He cares about exactly what we're going through. I ask God right now, in the name of Jesus, to continue to bless Apostle Elect, Cecilia. Continue to cover her. Minister Sheila, we need you to put your phone on mute, dear. We ask God to continue to cover her, to continue to strengthen her, to continue to give her more of his wisdom that she shares with us, to let her know she is being lifted up and prayed for, and that God sees exactly what she's going through and has gone ahead in time and made the way. You see how he paved the way, how he put people in the places that she needed them? That shows you that God cares. He cares for each of us, and he wants each of us to refocus our eyes on him, not on the giants, as she said, not on the mountains, not on the problems, but on the solution, which is God. God, we thank you for her ability to just open herself up, share her experience, and know that people are being released. People are being able to say, you know what? If God can forgive that, he can forgive me. He can forgive me. He can forgive each of us. Don't allow the enemy to let that battle go on inside you without being upfront with God about it, because he already knows. But he wants us to say, God, I'm dealing with this. Help me. Help me. And he did that. As you can see, even though the enemy tried to drudge up all of these things, God has already thrown them in the sea of forgetfulness. We need to forgive ourselves and move forward, pressing forward to the high calling that is in Christ. God, we thank you for the leadership, for the testimony, for the openness that you've given us in this woman who is getting her doctorate in the right thing, leadership, because she's definitely a leader. She's definitely an intercessor. She's definitely one who encourages unity and encourages us to seek you first, to put you first, and to understand the power that comes with that. God, we just thank you. And if there's anyone else that's listening that would have words of encouragement or comment to present to our listeners, the lines are open.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for the word on today. This is Minister Sylvia, Apostle-elect, blog talker, Minister Margot. I'm sorry, that wasn't Minister Sheila, that was myself. I'm at work, I was moving around, and I knocked it off of mute. I'm so sorry for the noise. But to just hear what God was doing in the midst of the war with Apostle-elect, I just thank God for, as Margot, Minister Margot said, the transparency, to let you know that even when you're fighting through a situation, you've got to still be about our Father's business. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, you've got to be about our Father's business, because we know that God did not give us the spirit of anxiousness. He did not give us the spirit of fear. But God said we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that even with everything the apostle was going through, he still found time to pray for me, my family, our family, the ministry, and others. And she did it with a smile on her face, never letting know. And when I would talk to her, I would say, "And how are you? You sound different." She would say, "Oh, I'm blessed. I'm okay." She would not go into that pity party and say, "Oh, I'm this and I'm that." She would just say, "God is faithful. I trust God." And I thank God for that type of spirit, that even though we're going through something, we know that only way we're going to come out of it is to not just give it to God, but leave it to God. Leave it with him and trust him to do what he's going to do, he shall do, and he has to do concerning us when we give him our all in all, because he sent everybody to her that she needed, the nurses, the doctor, the anesthesiologist, everyone that was needed, and even them that continued to argue, he sent someone in the midst to keep her from not worrying about what they was doing, to keep her on point, which was to stay focused on the And I just thank you for the message of today. Thank you so much, Apostle. I love you with all my heart. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so, so very much. Like I said, I still have a little hoarse from the intubation. They weren't supposed to intubate me, but they ended up doing it because of the blood pressures while I was under general anesthesia. So just bear with me. Don't forget our scriptures that we stand on, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And also, we're a new month. Praise God. Praise God. And it is the month of May. And we'll celebrate Cinco tomorrow, but we are celebrating God every day of our lives. And so we know this is the first Monday. And so on our first Monday, we are blessed by God to have our own doctor, prophetess, Serena Wright. I thank God for her. Great woman of God, sat under the tutelage of Apostle Sandra Thomas for many years. And she is also went to school to be a medical doctor. I thank God for her. So please call in tomorrow for Iron Sharpening Iron.
at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that Iron Sharpening Iron, presented by Smile3E. And then on Friday, we had the awesome privilege of having Minister Sylvia Kaiser and also Prophet Anton Thomas. And they're on the air with Let's Talk, and that's 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so usually, you know, you have one of them that's going to minister on the first and the third Fridays or the second and the fourth. But as you'll see, most of the time, it could be Minister Sylvia and then ministering on the night that it's supposed to be Prophet Anton. So just know you will hear one or the other on that Friday night. And this past Friday, we had Minister Sylvia. So maybe it'll be Prophet Anton or maybe it'll be Minister Sylvia. But I love the way they collaborate together. And whether it's Prophet Anton or Minister Sylvia, you shall be blessed. And then you can come back on Sunday and hear myself minister, and I'll be on here with Minister Sylvia if she's able to, and then Minister Margo, so faithful, will be on with her as well, and Minister Sheila. Minister Brandon hasn't been on for a while, but he's still my father's legacy, and I thank God for him. So just don't forget these announcements. Take them into your heart. Pray for the ministry. Pray for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that all of us will keep each other in one another's prayers and know that God will never leave us or forsake us. So until next time, be blessed. And thank you, Minister Margo, for praying. We will use Minister Margo as she prayed to close us out. Minister Sheila, did you have anything before we close out on the air?
I just want to thank Minister Margo McCoy for helping me on today, and I still want to pray. I'm going to pray the program out. Excuse the noise, but I am at work. But God, we come to you, the head of our life. God, we ask you to bless Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser through this procedure that she went through her throat, through her illness, through the surgery, Lord. But we thank you if any little minor thing could have corrupted and just misguided her body to the evilness that the devil was trying to put on her. But Lord, we bless your name. We honor your name. We treasure the love that you have for us and our family. Lord, I thank you for blessing us through our bloodline family that is truly your sons and daughters. For God, I give you honor. I give you thanks. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your blessings, your love, because without you, we would not be here. But God, please look over the apostle. Bless her and bring her through this, whatever aches and pains she have, to remove them. Lord, we know you can do any and everything with the most ultimate use of our bodies you have control of. But God, bless us all that we need to know each and every morning. We wake up through the night, during the day. We need to say, God, I thank you. Because although we are here now, some did not make it from this morning till now. But God, I praise your name. I give the honor to you, and I thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you for now, for each day we are here. And I thank you to bless us and keep us all and to take us through all our trials and tribulations, to let us know you are the light and to keep the darkness from us, because we know that the devil knows we are your sons and daughters. And to let them know this is one battle you will never win. You cannot win no matter what you put on us. God has our lives. God has control over us. So, Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for blessing us all for this day and to bless us through your life, through your love and your mercy. But, God, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. May all have a blessed, wonderful, safe day. It's an honor. God is the Father of us all. Amen.
Bye-bye.